Hey, everybody, welcome to the Charlie Kirk Show. We break down the disastrous, the shocking, the aha moment that spun the political commentary world on its head yesterday when Michael Cohen was called out for the liar that he is in the cross-examination at the Trump hush money trial, as they call it, in New York. Why this is such a bombshell, what it means, and why it matters. We also welcome Kurt Schlichter to the show, who's a lawyer who tells us just exactly what a clown show this all is. And then, of course, because it's mandatory, we had to play the clips of the AOC versus Crockett versus MTG brawl in Congress yesterday. It's quite the show. You're not going to want to miss it. Buckle up. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Noble Gold Investments is the official gold sponsor of the Charlie Kirk Show, a company that specializes in gold IRAs and physical delivery of precious metals. Learn how you could protect your wealth with Noble Gold Investments at NobleGoldInvestments.com. That is NobleGoldInvestments.com. It's where I buy all of my gold. Go to NobleGoldInvestments.com.
They are counting on your surrender. If you give up, they win. But what if we look back and we realize we were just inches away from victory, and that's when we decided to give up?
Join us and thousands of American patriots for the summer convention that all are invited to.
You're going to hear how we're going to win in 2024.
With the biggest speakers in the movement, featuring President Donald J. Trump.
We're going to fight and we're going to win.
Charlie Kirk, Vivek Ramaswamy, Governor Kristi Noem, Dr. Ben Carson, Steve Bannon, Candace Owens, Laura Trump, Senator Rick Scott, Congressman Matt Gaetz, Benny Johnson, Jack Posobiec, and more. June 14th through 16th.
2024 is our final battle.
In Detroit, Michigan.
The great silent majority is rising like never before.
Join us for the People's Convention.
This is a new ball game, everybody. You send a message. We play to win.
Register now at tpaction.com/peoples.
Yesterday was terrible for Michael Cohen. Absolutely disastrous. The Daily Mail, I think, summed it up the best. Michael Cohen is torn to shreds by Trump's attorneys in blistering cross-examination over Stormy Daniels' hush money payments. This is a train wreck. This was an aha moment. And I just love the way that the Daily Mail, Rob Crilly over the Daily Mail puts it. It said, it created an aha moment just as the case barrels towards its conclusion, the sort of pin drop shock common to courtroom TV dramas, but rare in real life. So what exactly happened? The lead up to this was pretty remarkable. So you have to remember, on direct, Cohen was very rehearsed. We even have, you know, Rep. Dan Goldman saying he rehearsed with him. I'm assuming he spent hours and hours and hours with the prosecution. Everything he said seemed rote. It seemed rehearsed. It seemed canned. And then on day one of cross-examination, I heard from some reporters in the room, a little underwhelming. Now, some of the Trump criticisms of his lawyers, Todd Blanche specifically, is that he hasn't been aggressive enough. So I'm sure they went to a room, they put together their plan, and man, did they execute it. Rarely will you ever see such broad, sweeping agreement that something went so well for Donald Trump. And we're talking from CNN, we're talking to MSNBC. MSNBC called it a moment of real triumph for the Trump team. Anderson Cooper looked shocked. As a matter of fact, let's go ahead and play that clip because, you know, it was a shocking moment. I'll pull that clip up in just one second. This was a real moment where the case really could hinge. It could be determined on this one moment. And I'm going to get to exactly, but I want to play this Anderson Cooper clip here. 186. Let's go ahead and play 186.
You know, on a cross-examination, lawyers want to kind of put the witness in a, you know, build a box around the witness and then slam it shut. That's what Todd Blanch did to Michael Cohen. It was an extraordinary cross-examination by Todd Blanch. And, you know, Michael Cohen's, throughout the day, Michael Cohen, when cornered in, when he found himself in a corner, he does have a pattern of suddenly not understanding the question that's being asked, or seemingly kind of, I mean, one could say buying time to try to figure out how he wants to answer. Michael Cohen was cornered in what appeared to be a lie, I think, to many in the room.
So, caught in a lie. What is the lie? Michael Cohen said that he, 3 days earlier, he had testified that he had made a phone call to Trump confirming that the payment to Stormy Daniels had been made. And it was very, very, like I said, rehearsed, so he looked confident. He looked like it was a really bad day for the Trump campaign. But it turns out Todd Blanch brings out the records and said, "You're lying." He said it was actually about a 14-year-old crank caller, and you called Trump's security guard to get advice on how to deal with this kid, a 14-year-old. So not only are you a scumbag that is a convicted liar, you're not only a scumbag that records your clients, in this case, Donald Trump, this bombshell recording that didn't actually do anything. It wasn't bombshell at all. But you're a scumbag who's going after a 14-year-old crank caller. It was a really powerful moment. And why? And so if you were in the courtroom, and so yesterday I saw this tweet from Eric Trump and just said, wow, with a bunch of fire emojis. And so I was with the team. I was like, what is this about? What is this about? Well, turns out Eric Trump was sitting there and saw the moment. And it's almost hard to, I think, put into words. I spoke to some of the people that were inside the courtroom yesterday, and they said, and I think Anderson Cooper alluded to that. He kind of does this, Cohen does this thing where he tries to buy time and give himself a little space to kind of come up with his answer. It was so telling based on his body language and his reaction when Blanch cornered him with this, when he shut the door on him, that you could just feel the air go out of the room. Everybody said it was electric. It was so clear that Cohen, the famed perjurer and convicted liar, got caught with another one. So what does this mean for the rest of the trial? So are any of the other things that Michael Cohen has alluded to and alleged in this trial, is that going to hold up? Well, I don't necessarily think so. Play cut 190.
Randy, okay, Randy, thank you for waiting. Your turn now. Recoverable for the prosecution?
No. Can I stop there, or do you want me to keep going?
You can elaborate.
He had one job to do, and he couldn't do it on something so simple. Tell us about a conversation. And the worst part of it is on direct, he sounded so convincing. He sounded so smooth, so good. It was such a good day for the prosecution. Describes the conversation and then completely shoots the pooch, where it looks like that conversation absolutely, actually never happened. Done.
Done. This is CNN, folks. This is CNN. Let's play another one. Let's go to MSNBC. A moment of real triumph for the Trump team, 200.
So about an hour ago, Katie Turr came out, and we were asking about sort of the mood and the tenor, and she said it was calm, quiet, almost serene. And I said, you know, we're kind of looking for that John Grisham moment. And she said, we have not had that. And she texted me just 5 minutes ago, maybe, and she said, we just had your Grisham moment. I'm eating my hat.
This is a moment of real triumph for Todd Blanch. You could even hear it in his voice. He is not a person to get excitable very easily.
Not excitable really easy. And again, this has been a point of contention with President Trump. Trump likes his lawyers like attack dogs. So this prankster, this prank caller, 14-year-old, this guy had been harassing Cohen, apparently, this 14-year-old, right in that October 2016 time period. And on one occasion, he forgot to hide their caller ID. So Cohen told him that he would have to explain themselves to the Secret Service, being a tough guy. The caller responded by saying he was only 14 years old. Cohen then messaged Trump's body man, Keith Schiller, shortly before 8 p.m. on October 24th to ask who he could talk to about the prankster and how to handle the matter, according to the messages read aloud in court. Call logs showed that Cohen made a call at 8:02 that lasted only 96 seconds, which means he could not have been calling about Daniels and the crank caller. So that's what Blanche said. That was a lie because you were actually talking to Mr. Schiller about you were getting harassing calls from a 14-year-old, he said in the most dramatic of the moment of the case so far. Cohen, who has adopted a meek hangdog air throughout, protested. He said Daniels' update was only brief. And Todd Blanche goes, that is a lie. You can admit it. And that's the moment. I think the transcript doesn't read as dramatic as that moment, again, in the courtroom when the air went out of the room for Michael Cohen and the prosecution. It was a absolute train wreck, that Grisham moment, as MSNBC put it. So here's why this is important. We all know this case is a sham. But again, normal people in Main Street America need to get it through their heads. And so when you have this many people saying the same thing, that Michael Cohen's a liar and he got caught out in court, that starts to filter on down.
Hey everybody, Charlie Kirk here. What an unbelievable start to 2024. We had last month saving babies with preborn by providing ultrasounds. And we're doing again this year what we did last year. We're going to stand for life because remaining silent in the face of the most radically pro-death administration is not an option. As Sir Edmund Burke said, the only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing, and we're not going to do nothing. Your gift of preborn will give a girl the truth about what's happening in her body so that she can make the right choice. $280 can save 10 babies, $28 a month can save a baby a month all year long. And a $15,000 gift will provide a complete ultrasound machine that will save thousands of babies for years and years to come. And will also save moms from a lifetime of pain and regret. Call 833-850-2229. That's 833-850-2229. Or click on the preborn banner at charliekirk.com. That is charliekirk.com and click on the preborn banner. Also save moms from a lifetime of pain and regret. I'm a donor to this organization. They're terrific. Go to charliekirk.com, click on the preborn banner.
They say, do you know why you were reaching out to Mr. Schiller in the evening of October 24th, 2016? Yes. Why? Because I needed to speak to Mr. Trump, and I knew that Keith Schiller was with him. Why did you need to speak to Mr. Trump at that point? To discuss Stormy Daniels. Why did you call him to discuss Stormy Daniels? Today, at a minimum, he called Schiller in order to discuss the 14-year-old. Within 30 seconds of the phone call ending, he then, Michael Cohen, texts Schiller the phone number for the 14-year-old. The phone call was about the 14-year-old at a minimum.
Right. I mean, there was an immediate follow-up, right,
yes,
on that topic.
So in answer to the question, why did you call Schiller, answer, because of a 14-year-old.
So Michael Cohen, the convicted perjurer, is getting outed for the rat that he is, which begs the question, why? Why would this Democrat lawfare assault put so much weight onto somebody like Cohen? Everybody described Michael Cohen as their star witness. The star witness. Well, John Yoo, who's been on this show, asked that same question. Play cut 198.
So I think if you're Trump, you leave them with this message at the end of Cohen's testimony, which is, did we cross the Rubicon? Did we go after a former president for the first time in the history of this republic in 235 years for this guy, for this kind of witness, for these kinds of charges? The other thing I would say is, I think there's a good chance that this judge would have to dismiss these charges as not proven even beyond, before you put on a defense.
Now, I think that's a little bit wishful thinking. You would assume you're dealing with a judge that would be nonpartisan, unbiased. I don't think that's what we're dealing with, unfortunately, in New York. But let's just look at this. This is so, you know, yesterday was a very important day for this trial. And why is it an important day? It's an important day for the country. Because at some level, This case is about more than whether or not one political party in this country can summon a bunch of jurors and can summon a bunch of prosecutors and judges and get them to try and throw the leading candidate for president into jail. It's about more than that, because that's obviously what they wanted to do. They wanted to take him off the chessboard. It's about the character of this country. It's about how much virtue is left in the population that makes up the citizenry of this great country. Are we going to fall for it? Are we going to accept these assaults on our republic? Is it going to affect polling? Are people going to say, you know what? Yeah, he's a convicted criminal, a convicted felon, Donald Trump. Or is the American people, are they strong enough to look at this? Are they wise enough? Do they have enough virtue left in them to look at this as the blatant assault on our democracy and our rules and norms and traditions that it is, and reject the party that is perpetrating these assaults on our republic? That is a really important question that is still an open question. But as these clips come out, as you see it from top to bottom, from Fox, CNN, MSNBC, Washington Post, New York Times, everybody saying the same thing, that this was a big bombshell moment for the defense, for the Trump campaign. That is going to help get the normies, the people that aren't paying such close attention, invested in the outcome of this case in a way that they need to be. And we have a real shot. This is an existential threat to our republic and to the future of this country. The next 5 months are critically important, because we're asking a question: will we be taken hostage by a movement that seeks to destroy the foundations of the country, or will we fight back? Will we be smart enough, wise enough, good enough? And in the words of John Yoo, did we really cross the Rubicon for this guy? Look at this. The defense is showing in court. In one podcast statement, Cohen says, "I truly effing hope that this man ends up in prison." And he said that about Trump. In another clip that they showed to the jury, Michael Cohen makes clear that he would enjoy Trump's downfall. "It won't bring back the year that I lost or the damage done to my family, but revenge is a dish best served cold," Cohen could be heard to say. "You better believe that I want this man to go down." Consider what they did. And they rested it all on the shoulders of this clown.
Hey guys, prepare to witness a journey of resilience, courage, and redemption in Angel Studios' upcoming new film, Sight, hitting theaters May 24th. I had a chance to watch it, and it's such an extraordinary true story that captures your heart and leaves your spirit inspired. It's everything awe-inspiring that you'd expect from Angel Studios, and you can buy your tickets now at angel.com/Charlie. This film stars Academy Award nominee Greg Kinnear and Terry Chen, and follows Dr. Ming Wang's epic quest from poverty-stricken beginnings in communist China to become a pioneering eye surgeon in America. You'll watch him face the challenge of restoring the sight of a blind orphan that forces him to confront his dark past of violence and communism that he experienced in China. This Memorial Day weekend, find out if the ghosts of Dr. Wang's past shatter his sanity or propel him to accomplish the impossible for a child in need. Mark your calendars for March 24th and get your tickets today at angel.com/Charlie. That's angel.com/Charlie.
Kurt Schlichter, who's a senior columnist for townhall.com, as well as a brilliant legal mind and a talented lawyer in his own right. Kurt, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Kurt, so you've had, I'm assuming, a little time to digest the Cohen train wreck yesterday on Cross by Todd Blanche. Just sum it up for us. You are a lawyer. I am not. Tell us, how bad was that moment? And really, there was multiple moments, but how bad was yesterday?
Well, let's explain first what's going on. Cross-examination, the key to our justice system, Andrew, the ability to take a witness and to pick apart his, her, or their story and, test whether it's true or false or a little of both. And this is something that is hundreds and hundreds of years old. If you've ever seen A Man for All Seasons, the movie about Thomas More, where he cross-examines Richard Rich, the guy who's lying about him, you know, trying to get him executed, up to, you know, Al Pacino and Justice for All and all those. And of course, you can't handle the truth. Cross-examination is just, it is central to the truth discovery purpose of our justice system. And I got to tell you, when you are doing a cross, and I'm a trial lawyer, I do trials about 30 years. There are few things as much fun as a good cross with your clothes on. Now, when you look, first of all, it is the whole trial is a scam and a disgrace. But it is an utter disgrace that a agency of any level of an American government, this time the state of New York, would bring in a witness who is a known perjurer, a known liar, a convicted perjurer. I mean, the guy's a convict, and put him up as their key witness against a guy 50% or so of Americans want to see as their next president. I mean, just a disgrace. But, you know, the cross-examination of Michael Cohen, let's just say it's not one of the most technically difficult ones out there. He's a liar. He's a scammer. What they're trying to do is establish to the jury. And look, I think the jury is probably going to convict him because they're all hopelessly biased. So they're not really speaking to the jury. They're speaking to America. And when they get, Todd Blanche gets up and just begins boxing in Cohen, and you can just see him setting it up. Mr. Cohen, don't you agree with this? Isn't this true? Let's go through your personal resume of crimes and lies. He's just setting, and he's tightening it. So Cohen can't shift out of it. And eventually, you know, the most famous exchange, of course, was the 14-year-old prank caller call where Cohen said, well, I called Trump and Trump agreed to this giant Stormy Daniels conspiracy, which isn't a conspiracy and isn't against the law. But let's put that aside. A 96-second call. And Blanche was able to get him to, you know, recommit to, yeah, that was all about Trump. And then he starts dropping in other evidence like text to show it's really about a 14-year-old prank caller. And, you know, when that's going on, the room gets quiet. When you're doing the cross, there's nothing but you and the guy on the stand that you're literally eviscerating. The key to a great cross is to know all your facts and have them at hand. If you have to put up an exhibit, you need to have, you know, your second chair, a junior lawyer, a paralegal, whatever, ready and totally coordinated with you. You know, Kim, put up exhibit X. Now, Mr. Witness, that's your signature on exhibit X. Exhibit X says it was Tuesday when this happened. Your testimony was it was Wednesday. Which one is the lie? Or are they both lies? You know, and it's a beautiful thing because, you know, it's very hard to get a good cross over someone who's not lying. Now, you can bring out good facts, but you don't completely devastate their credibility if they're not lying. Wait. It's very hard to turn someone who's not lying into a liar.
Was this devastating? Was this completely devastating? Well, how bad is the scale 1 to 10?
In a real case, a legal case, which this is not, it's Nagasaki times Hiroshima, you know, times the Star Wars sequels in the level of disaster. I mean, it's... But this isn't a normal case. And he's not really talking to the jury. Now, there's a small chance he might get somebody to hang There's no chance they'll get an acquittal, in my view. And I've been wrong before. But what he's really doing is he's cross-examining for America to say, this is what the Democrats have put up. This is the lie. And I think in that context, it's absolutely devastating.
So I just got to pause for 1 second. So it's like Jar Jar Binks bad. Like, that's how bad this was. Only 5-year-olds like it, basically.
Let me put it this way. Jar Jar Binks would go, you so suck.
We went there. We did it.
I will tell you,
there is one juror, and I actually had this conversation a couple times yesterday and the day before with various people that are actually inside the courtroom. One journalist in particular I was speaking with said he can figure out who the Truth Social guy is. So there's one juror that gets their news from Truth Social, which obviously is Trump's social media network, and he says he could pick him out. He's 90% sure he knows which one. And there's one that gets their mail from the Daily Mail.
Reading the jury tea leaves is a classic thing. You know, as soon as you break for lunch, what juror number 6 do? Well, he was kind of looking at the ceiling during your examination in the doctor. No, God, now he's not engaged. How about juror number 4? Well, you know, she's got 2 kids in the Army. You know, she cooks for a living. She seems very interested. Maybe she'll be a good conservative juror. I don't know. You know, yeah, I mean, we do that all the time. And I don't know. And, you know, sometimes you're right and sometimes you're wrong. But I'll tell you, you know, I've had experiences in cases. Fortunately, it wasn't me in this one. I had a juror burst into laughter at my opponent. You know, when he said, so, I mean, burst into laughter, and you're just like, oh, God. You know, but I've had jurors roll their eye. You know, I had a juror look at me on one of the few cases I did not prevail in, and he just shook his head. And I was like, okay, well, I'm done. I remember my first trial, I was the second chair, very junior lawyer, and we thought we were going to do well. And a very pretty juror who'd been kind of smiling at me throughout because I was, you know, younger then, she wouldn't meet my gaze. And my boss said, yep, we've lost. And we did lose. We won on appeal. But, you know, trying to read juries is, you know, that's what lawyers do. That's just a thing. But again, I mean, this isn't a real legal case. Like other ones, because if it wasn't Donald Trump, if it was a Donald Trump, and the case never would have been filed, and B, the jurors would be sitting there going, why are we here?
Correct. So, Kara, you make a good point, and I think it is the bigger point. I made this point earlier in the hour as well. This is actually a case for the American public. I think the bigger question with all of this lawfare assault on Donald Trump is, are we a nation that can see a brazen politicization of our institutions and reject it? Or will the party that is doing the lawfare attack, will they be rewarded for it, right? So I actually think this is a larger existential civilizational defining question. These are a civilizational defining 5 months. But just let's play out the scenarios. If I'm right, which, you know, I'm going to get a bet with somebody on this. I think this is going to be a hung jury. What would that mean to the Democrats' lawfare assault on Donald Trump if the one jurisdiction in which they just have a completely stacked deck, New York City, well, and D.C., if they are not able to be successful in attaching convicted felon to the front of Donald Trump's intro?
Look, I try and be objective, and objectively, it is devastating for the Democrats if they get a hung jury. Just devastating. If he gets acquitted, I mean, holy cow, but I don't think it's that. But if he gets a hung jury, yeah, it's devastating because Donald Trump's going to walk out and say, yeah, you know, they brought out this perjurer and a bunch of Democrats on the jury believed it. Because, you know, the jurors, the activists, the lonely wine women of the jury, horrible liberal wine women, are immediately going to go on MSNBC and be interviewed about this.
Of course.
We're going to know exactly who they are, right?
Yes. Well, and there are two lawyers on the jury. There's two lawyers on the jury. You've got a Daily Mail reader. You got a Truth Social. I'm telling you, and I don't think they're sequestered, by the way. They're seeing that the clips from yesterday were, I mean, I played a lot of them already. They're calling this a moment of triumph. They're calling it an absolute shredding of Michael Cohen on the stand.
Yeah. I mean, well,
Trump's
when you look at
syndrome is strong, but go ahead.
Well, look, Anderson Cooper and Eli Honig, who are no friends of Trump and who I don't agree with very often, they were just, you know, essentially shell-shocked at how bad Cohen was. Now, I wasn't sitting in the courtroom. I'll take their word for it. He must have done badly. Don't put too much hope in the lawyers, okay, after being a lawyer for 30 years. You know, I mean, remember, look, every case I'm in, I disagree completely with the other lawyer. So if some lawyer comes and says, well, lawyers agree. Lawyers don't agree. If we all agreed, we'd be driving, you know, Yugos.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Kurt, okay, I have a very complex set of emotions behind this clip. Well, it's a series of clips. I don't know how many we're going to get to here. So, for our audience's sake, MTG basically, you know, tells Rep Crockett, who's a real piece of work, that she's obviously not able to read what's in front of her because, and they were arguing about Merrick Garland, because she has fake eyelashes. And then all hell breaks loose. Then AOC gets involved, starts calling her baby girl. And MTG tells AOC she isn't that intelligent. That's why she won't debate her. I mean, this thing... On the one hand, I love MTG for the fight she has. I sometimes hold back some of my other feelings, but I really do appreciate MTG's kind of spunkiness here. But is this really what it's come to, Kurt? Is this really what the people's house, the house? I mean, listen, we've got nothing on the UK. I get it. But okay, let me just play the clip, then I'm going to get your reaction. And there's a series of clips. It's a long exchange, 192.
I'd like to know if any of the Democrats on this committee are employing Judge Mershon's daughter.
Is she a porn star?
Do you know what we're here for? You know we're here about AG.
I don't think you know what you're here for.
Well, you're the one talking about. I guess
I think your fake eyelashes are messing up.
No, ain't nothing.
Hold on.
Order,
Mr. Chairman.
That's beneath even your screen.
Get the order of your committee.
Order.
Okay, Kurt, your first reaction.
My first reaction is always, what are the rules? You know, is this a solemn place of decorum and respect? Because I haven't seen that from Crockett or Ocasio-Cortez. Now I'm supposed to expect it from MPG. Now, I know what I prefer. I prefer, you know, the founding fathers deliberating about great issues of national importance, of natural law and the place of man and God and government. But that's not what we've got, Andrew. What we've got is essentially, I don't know, it looks like a cat fight to me. You know, I when everybody agrees that we want to change the rules back, then I'm all for it. Until then... You know, if people want to get into brawls, that's fine.
All right, Kurt, we got to keep playing the clips. It's mandatory. 193.
I do have a point of order, and I would like to move to take down Ms. Green's words. That is absolutely unacceptable. How dare you attack the physical appearance of another person?
Are your feelings hurt?
Her words down.
Aww.
Oh, girl, baby girl.
Oh, really?
Don't even play.
Baby girl,
We are going to move, and we're going to take your words down.
I second that motion.
Ms. Green agrees to strike her words.
I believe she should apologize. No.
Okay, hold on.
I'm not apologizing.
Well, then,
okay, reserve the right to object.
Your I am not apologizing. Why don't you debate me?
Okay, Kurt. Then I'm just going to get to the end here. This is Congressman Jasmine Crockett ends this whole exchange when Ana Paulina Luna is telling her, just calm down. I can't hear you. You're shouting. She goes, y'all talk noise, and then you can't take it. Because if I come and talk bleep about her, y'all gonna have a problem. That's how it ended.
Well, you know, I believe I read something like that in the Federalist Papers. they sound like a bunch of guys on Drag Race arguing with each other on Bravo Channel. It's just so tacky. AOC is a brain dead moron. Crockett's just ridiculous. My favorite part was when they told them to calm down, because as you and I both know, women love it when you tell them to calm down.
Women love that. Well, at least it was another woman. The best part about this.
Imagine being Comer, who's up there
it's okay. I will just say this. At least, you know, they're showing some fight. And yeah, I wish we had the decorum and the big ideas and the natural law on this. You know, but at the end of the day, I look at Jasmine Crockett. She's literally trying to destroy our country, if you boil it down. And
yeah,
so MTG, you know, it is what it is. Kurt, thank you as always for your time. Excellent as always. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Please consider joining members.charliekirk.com. That's members.charliekirk.com, and become a paying subscriber to the show. It means the world to us. It really, really does. It is inspiring to see how many of you guys are doing it and joining this week as I've been hosting and pitching you on it. You guys help keep the lights on. You keep us free from boycotts and cancellations. And genuinely, from the bottom of my heart, thank you for joining. So if you are listening to this and interested, consider doing the same. Members.charliekirk.com. Members.charliekirk.com. Talk to you soon.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.